Aloha. Welcome to HawaiiRadio.com. Technically, it's HawaiiRadio.podomatic.com. This is our first initial podcast. This is Daryl and Tracy, and what we're trying to do is give a little bit of information about a lot of different things in our world. We're going to try to do this podcast at least once a month. We've got some talking points that we'd like to talk about, and I hope you do enjoy it. Like I said, our website, if you have any questions, is www.hawaiiradio.podomatic.com. And some of the issues we're going to be talking about are going to be things like astrology, metaphysical ideas, prophecy, history, unconventional thinking, New World Order, or One World Government issues. Sometimes there'll be updates on those. It just depends on what goes on in the world. Also things like Earth changes, possibly weather manipulations, any type of updates on things like that. First of all, we want to, again, welcome you. Aloha from Maui. Tracy and I are coming to you tonight from the west side of Maui, a city called Lahaina. Anyway, before we get started, first of all, we want to give a little bit of shout-out praise for the guys at the Cosmic Weather. They've really impressed us, and they've been kind of an inspiration to us, kind of the Walter Cronkite of astrology podcasting, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, Tracy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm glad to be here.
Great. Hey, with our first initial podcast, we're going to go ahead and start off with some astrology. And first of all, we're going to go ahead and start off with some representations of the moon and how that plays into astrology. And one of the reasons I say that is because I'm pretty recently studying astrology. I'm still kind of a novice, but I'm technically a Capricorn. My sun is in Capricorn in my natal chart, and a lot of the things about a Capricorn never really struck me as being myself. There were things that did seem to kind of hit home, but a lot of things really didn't. And about 3 weeks ago, I found out that my moon is in Libra, 1% Libra, almost into Virgo, but it's still in Libra. And that really did bring a lot of answers to the way that my personality is, the way that my habits are. The thing that about the moon is that it really brings out a lot of your habit nature for the person that you are for your life. A couple other things about the moon is the moon represents the impressionist side of inner feelings and emotions portraying from within. I would say kind of the impression that you have from your birth. And again, like I say, that really helps a lot in personally for me as far as wondering why I was kind of a laid-back person, where in Capricorn you're more of kind of the government person, more of the old, staunchy, you know, conservative government type person. And I have certain aspects that I am conservative, but mostly I'm more of a Libra, I would say, I'm kind of laid back. And Tracy, I know your moon is in Taurus, and did that kind of surprise you and answer any questions about your own personality after you found that out?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I've never considered myself a true Virgoan, but I do have many traits as well. And the moon in Taurus represents our emotional sides. And some of the traits also in Taurus do kind of make sense and some do not. I don't think anybody's ever 100% one way or the other in each of the signs.
No, that's true. We'll get into it more during this show or possibly future shows, but we were on episode 37 of The Cosmic Weather, and again, I just have to turn you on to that, guys, because it's just an absolutely fantastic show at cosmicweather.com. But they did a 16-minute mini reading for Tracy during that show. She had triplets in 2004, December of 2004. And one of the things that they said was is that since her moon was in Taurus, that she was very fertile and that she could basically have children for her whole entire life, which is something, if you knew Tracy, that would really hit home. But anyway, you know, a couple other things about our moon symbol is it indicates how we express our nurturing instinct and the immediate emotional feeling side that we respond with experiences. You know, that really hits home with me, with my moon in Libra, because when I ever run up against usually things that are stressful, I always kind of revert back to my moon in Libra, and I always try to really, you know, be the peacemaker and just relax and kind of let things kind of slide or go. And also the thing with the moon, with the aspect of the moon in your natal chart, is it's kind of your mysterious side. It's part of your human nature. You know, the moon shows our hidden aspects of ourself. You know, a couple other things about the moon in our natal chart is it rules over issues related to the family and interaction amongst family members with social gatherings and general proceedings in our home environment. And again, I think if any of you fathers or mothers probably realize that if you have children, that just kind of look at your moon natal sign, and that'll tell you a lot about how you react to your children, I think. You know, again, just Tracy, the one thing I remember with our children is that it makes a lot of sense for me that your moon is in Taurus, because you've always been very grounded. You know, both Capricorn, Taurus, and Scorpio are all earth signs, and with our children, Tracy did a really good job, I think, with
thank you.
With them being kind of grounded.
Well, I think that has to do with that nurturing point that I have. It also helped me, encourage me with the surrogacies that I've done, the one in 1998, the one in 2003, and then the triplets in 2004. It takes a certain amount of courage to be able to give birth and hone those skills to be the best mother you can be. And even if you're not going to mother these children like I didn't with these surrogacies, I wanted to have the best pregnancy that I could. It was so very important to me, so that these children had a good start in life, to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. We're getting a little off the subject, but didn't it kind of seem like that your desire for these children, was it almost something supernatural that you felt that you had to do? It was something that you were destined to do. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. When I first brought it up to you, and I know you were resistant to it, all I could focus on was that it felt like it was a sole purpose. It was required of me in this lifetime, and that I was supposed to do this. And I almost got hysterical trying to explain it to you when I first came upon the idea from my friend Lisa, is that this was something that I was supposed to do. It allowed me to touch two people in their life in such a way, in such a personal way, that giving blood or donating money never could. But it didn't just touch them.
Yeah.
It touched their families. It touched their friends. It touched their communities. So it was a widespread positive action that had no bounds, basically. Mm-hmm. And it did a lot for our family as well.
Yeah. And, you know, that also kind of reminds me that, you know, with my moon in Libra, the one thing that surprised me about learning about that was is that if you could ask me, you know, which, if possible, could you change in your personality? Would it be the traits of being a Libra or the traits of being a Capricorn? By far, it would be, I could probably change some of my traits in Capricorn, but I could never change my traits in Libra. As far as I've ever could remember, I've always been kind of laid back, and any type of trauma that I went through, I tried to take it in a kind of in stride, almost to my detriment. But
well, I've never been into labels myself, and just because somebody says you're one way or a book says you're one way because of a birth sign or whatever, I've always kind of bucked against what was common knowledge. I want to be who I am, and I don't want to be the same way every day. You know, granted, you pretty much have this definite personality by the time you're 7 or 8, and that kind of patterns you on for the rest of your life. But you can change. You can grow, and you can move on, and you don't have to stay within the strictures of what you're supposed to be.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the one thing that I appreciate about the guys on the Cosmic Weather. Is that everything that they say as far as astrology always points to the aspect that we have free will and that we have a choice. And, you know, I think the one thing that Kelly Lee Phipps said that was the most impressing to me, that is basically any sign can be used to the detriment in its extreme. If you're too much, almost obsessive with any specific sign, it can be your detriment. And I think that's a huge thing to be able to remember. You know, I do believe that whether it be the moon or the planets, they do have sometimes physical influences over our feelings and emotions and like that. But again, it's the free will. It's the being able to, at any given moment, cry out to your creator and say, I cannot take this aspect, please take this burden from me. And your creator will definitely do that. So, you know, the one thing about astrology is that I think it is a good weather report, but it's not the official high top weather.
That's correct. I also believe that too. I think you have to really feel deep within your soul and listen to your creator that way more than any way else, so that when you're told to do something, you act on it. And I think a lot of people shut that soul part of themselves down because it's not convenient. It may not be nice. It may not be what everybody else is doing. It may shake a few, you know, perceptions of other people that may embarrass you or change their attitudes towards you. But if you listen to it, and you do what you're supposed to do, you can affect change in your world and in yourself. That is absolutely remarkable.
Absolutely. Well, you know, hey, now that we've said a little bit about ourselves and you kind of got to know us a little bit, the one thing we want to do, at least every month that we have a podcast, is we'd like to now talk to you a little bit about what I'd like to call our all-star sign of the month. And this is July. This is being taped in technically still the 5th of July in Hawaii. And so that's going to be the sign, most of the month anyway, the sign will be in Cancer. So again, as with our theme of the natal moon, kind of wanted to talk about the moon in Cancer, kind of a little bit of a twist. A few things about the moon in Cancer is that the moon, I would say, is in her own royalty in Cancer with the key word of solitude. A lot of traits that people in the sign of Cancer have is that they tend to revert back to being solitude. to having a lot of solitude during the time that maybe they feel a little stressed or anything that the moon may give them as far as their feelings. A few other things is that sympathetic, kind, and compassionate. Cancer signs are sensitive to others' feelings, and you know, we always need as many people as we can in the world that have as much feelings and compassion for other people. Also, too, there may be cycles of amazing energy flow and activity, and the moon has a capability to fluctuate through its full range in the sign of Cancer. They make excellent artists, musicians, and poets. So if you know of anybody that was born in July, maybe kind of look at them a little closer and see if you can see them through their artistic musician traits or poetry traits. Now that we've went through our first initial aspect for the sign, for the moon signs, we're going to kind of change pace a little bit, and we want to try to have a little bit more of an interactive conversation between Tracy and myself on intentions. We've really been feeling a lot of emotions with intentions as a theme, and Tracy, maybe you should go ahead and start with a few of the ideas that you had with intentions.
Sure. I think that we're all made up of electrical impulses. So is the Earth. And I think what we put out affects not just ourselves and our spouses and our children. It affects everything. It affects your community. It affects your plants that you have on your nightstand. It affects the world. It affects other peoples from all over the world. And intentions are seem to be really focused in a more negative way than they do positive. We have too many wars. We have too much famine. We have too many violent acts against one another. And yeah, there are people out there that are doing good works, but the balance is not what it should be. It's just overwhelmingly negative. And I really believe
congratulations.
When you focus,
you have been selected to receive a free ringtone. All you need to do is enter your cell phone number into the
affects everything. And I think it also has something to do with all the negativity globally. We're having more hurricanes. We've had some horrible tsunamis. We've had earthquakes, volcano eruptions, more violence across the United States and in other countries. We have nuclear testing now in North Korea. Now that's going to damage not only our souls, but it's damaging our planet. And it affects everything that we do. When I did the surrogacy, I wanted so much to affect a positive force out to which I was doing, and it felt really good to being able to give birth these three times and provide a natural and positive flow to these other people. And like I said before, it didn't just affect the mom and the dad. It affected our children. It affected our side of the family. It affected their family and friends and their community. I really believe strongly that if we all focused our intentions not to strive to reach that corporate ladder, making money, power, you know, who's the biggest badass out there. You know, we focus it on humanity. We focus it on our planet.
Well, let me, you know, that's an interesting point. I just kind of want to take, as they say, the devil's advocate side and see if I can interject something. How would you respond to, say, for example, back in 1939, in September of 1939, when Hitler invaded Poland and started World War II? It wouldn't have been good enough just for the Allies to say, well, our intentions are going to be honorable, our intentions are going to be good, so we're not going to have a war. You know, how would you respond to that as far as saying that, you know, there's a negative energy out there, and yes, you know, you're going to, in our earthly, worldly bounds right now, you know, we can either respond in positiveness or in negative energy. How would you respond to a question like that for the person that would say, well, you know, these theories about intentions, you know, they would be fantastic, but let's get real. Let's think about the real world. How would you respond to that?
The real world only knows fear. That's all they know. They react out of fear. When World War II happened, or any of the wars that we've happened, it was done out of political power, money, strategic planning. I mean, it had nothing to do with the benefit of mankind or our planet. And everything was done out of fear. Now, if our intentions are motivated out of love, if they are motivated out of the global healthiness of our planet and our people, you can create more and do more with that energy, and it can affect a change. There are studies that say that if you talk to your plant, you have a fern, okay, and you're talking to it, and you're watering it, and you plant it, it will grow healthier, more in size and color and depth than a plant that's just watered regularly, or a plant that just maybe fed a little bit, or a plant that gets no care at all. And you'll see how fast it declines when you have no interaction with that plant. Everything is connected. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and talk about a few of the positive aspects of energy. We've talked a bit about the negative aspects of energy. You know, a couple things here that we put down in our notes is that positive aspects of energy, first of all, the main thing that it does is it rejuvenates our soul. You know, people go through traumas all the time, and you know, in one way, the world right now is in a trauma. And, you know, the one thing I can definitely agree with you about is that it's like people now all over the world are addicted to negative energy. It's the one aspect that we've been conditioned to react to.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of times what that does is that a negative energy will kind of almost seek itself out. You know, whether it be in religion, whether it be in politics, or anything. And like you say, anything that's based out of fear is going to seek itself out. Unfortunately, one of the biggest aspects, I personally am not political myself, negative or Democrat or Republican, but unfortunately, I think one of the biggest events probably of the whole 21st century happened in November of the year 2000 with the election of George Bush. This is not so much an issue about Republicans or Democrats. George Bush could have been a Democrat. It really didn't matter. But the politics of fear that really started a huge chain reaction, I think, has kind of put America into the straits that it is. Unfortunately, the United States bought into a lot of the fear that was during that election. And with a little bit of vote rigging and extreme negative fear during the Florida recounts and things like that, it's sad to say, but a lot of times, if you live in fear, that's what you're going to get. Fear is going to feed upon itself, and it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy that because there was so much fear during that election, and it was so close, that the greater of the two negatives in that sense, won, because honestly, I don't think either candidate was particularly good. I don't know if United States would have been particularly different in its moral fiber, no matter who would have won. But the one thing that fear did do during that election is it gave in to the most negative aspect of our lives. And in a sense, that's no one's responsibility or fault but our own. And I really do believe that if we as a nation would have been able to have a little bit less fear, that things could have been turned around. And this is again a little off the point, but I'm old enough to remember the hearings during the Watergate investigation back in 1973 and 74, and it was amazing to see the country rise up for something a lot less than the Iraq War, a lot less than the scandals that are plaguing the United States today. And I really do feel that was started during the seeds of 2000, when the United States went in the path of fear. So, you know, I think the one thing that we want to try to do with this podcast is to just try to put out the message that, you know, even if it doesn't seem so on the surface, the aspects of positive energy in all aspects of life are always the road that you want to travel, because not only does it rejuvenate your soul and help to clear your mind, but positive aspects ripple out to all humanity. And today Tracy came up with a really, really good example of that. Why don't you go ahead and explain what kind of example you talked to me about earlier today?
Sure. Well, one thing I want to say just before we go on is that when you're dealing in fear-based societies, you're tired. And it's so easy to just let things go and let your governments do whatever they want. And it makes you tired. If things were in a positive note, if everybody took active participation within their communities, within their governments, within every role that we possibly can, you would be revived. You would have the energy and the love, and it would come out to you in 3 times 3 times 3. Now, the example Daryl was asking me about was that if you take a pebble and you throw it in a pond, and the ripples flow out in either direction, think of that as positive energy. Or it could be negative energy. It doesn't just stay in that circle where the pebble fell. It flowed out in either direction, the future, the present, and the past. Now, I firmly believe that if that pebble had been charged positively, it wouldn't just help the present, it would help for future generations, and I think it could have affected your past, too, that there's possible to affect your past. I believe that time is an infinity. I think it loops. I think at some point it connects at a fork, and that we meet within our past and our future and our present. So what I'm saying is that if you have positive intentions, if everyone focused their intentions on curing disease, of being cooperative of everybody, that what would be an ideal would to be have no world hunger, to have no poverty, that education for all was more important than the almighty dollar. Who has the biggest guns? Who can throw a nuclear switch to have a missile go off and kill billions of people? That you affect things globally, you affect things spiritually, and on many, many dimensions and levels.
You know, the thing that really kind of excites me a little bit about that statement is that scientists really have been able to prove over the last 10 to 15 years that that almost all energy, almost all matter, tends to bend. And you can send light out. For example, if you send a beam of light from the Earth to the Moon, you're going to get a straight line, but not quite. It's not quite going to be straight. There is going to be a small amount of bend in that light. It may be ever so small. It may be 1/10 of an inch. It may be 1/15 of an inch, but it doesn't matter. There's going to be a bend in that light. And to me, that states that all energies basically are going to like Tracy said, boomerang around back to themselves. And I think that that just doesn't happen just for light, but it also happens for intentions. It also happens for sound waves. It happens for almost any aspect of anything that you could think about.
You know, another thing about intentions and how you can see it work every day is through prayer. There have also been studies and lots of studies done on people in hospitals who have had surgery, and they have their loved ones or clergy and or clergy people with them, and they said a prayer over that patient. That patient healed twice as fast, if not more, than the person who was just left alone to recover without any sort of psychic energy involved whatsoever. You can see intentions actively through prayer.
Well, you know, again, I'll take the devil's advocate on this, and I'll say, you know, how can you see attitudes? How can you see intentions through prayer?
Well, that's very easy, just for the fact that you have people that recover faster. You have people that come out of depression. Prayer doesn't only just put in the positive energy that you need. It brings people together. When you have positive intentions and people are deciding no more, mm-hmm. We don't want to see animals slaughtered. We don't want to see pollution dumped into our oceans. And we don't want to have another nuclear bomb made. And people collectively put their intentions forward, you see the results immediately. And sometimes it is subtle. Sometimes you don't. And sometimes it takes generations to reroute mm-hmm. all the negativity that's been going on for generations after generations after generations. Thousands of years. Yeah, for as long as there's been a war, there have been negative intentions.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about, you know, this is kind of a big issue today with the culture of the youth. You know, a lot of people, it seems like each generation says, oh, you know, things were different when I was young. Things were better when I was young. The moral fabric was not nearly as bad when I was young, etc. You know, I'm sure a lot of parents have prayed for their children. A lot of, you know, parents sit down every night at their bed and pray for their children. You know, but it seems like we don't see actions with that. What would you say about situations like that?
I would ask you, are your prayers selfish? A person has to be who they're going to be. They have to have free will in their choices. And when you pray and you hope that little Johnny hasn't robbed a bank or he's going to do better in school, are you really praying for them? Or are you praying for you because you don't want to be embarrassed? You don't want others to look at your little Johnny's behavior and see that as a reflection on you. Often people do things out of self-motivation and fear. You know, if prayer really was working, then it really was selfless, and it really was about your child. It really was about your community. It really was about helping. And I think the intentions know. Intensive actions know instinctively whether it's negative or positive, whether it's selfish or selfless.
Would you say that prayer would be more equated to, let's say, a farmer throwing seeds down on his farm than more of a farmer throwing a piece of corn that that's already grown down on a piece of land. Would you kind of equate it to that?
This is how I would equate it. A farmer may throw his seeds to the ground, but he has to work and he has to tend it. His intentions are to make those seeds grow. So he waters it. He feeds it. He gives it sunlight. He takes care and attention. He physically interacts with his garden. Now you can have the opposite, where you have somebody who just throws some seeds down, walks away, and thinks, it'll survive if it grows, and if it doesn't, oh well, it wasn't meant to be. Those are two different kinds of intentions. One is really a lack of it, a lack of caring, which is in the negative spectrum, and one is diligent, one is caring, one is trying so hard to make something grow. That is a positive intention.
Yeah. Well, you know, that kind of brings me to my next point. I think everyone, at one point in their life, either to themselves or to their creator, whoever it is, ask themselves the question, why is there evil in the world? Why is there negativity in the world? And, you know, the one note that I took today for the podcast is that I thought of something that I had never really thought about. And the one statement that I had thought about was that positive energy and negative energy can never, never be an equal coexistence with each other.
I agree with you. I mean, it's like two magnets. One's positive and one's negative. They just have a static between them, so they don't really go anywhere. If one side of the magnet is larger or more denser than the other, say positive, then you're going to get more of a movement from that end. But it could be the opposite of negativity, then you're going to get more movement from that end.
Right. And also, too, they can never be in equal coexistence. That doesn't mean that we don't live in a world that doesn't have positive and negative influence. That's not what I'm meaning. Let me see if I can give you an example. The equation of the circumference or the sphere of the root of pi is, as we all know, it's 3.14. The square root of pi is 1.77245. But see, that's an irrational number. It doesn't have an ending number. We can never get an exact number. To me, that means when you can never get an exact number, that there's always going to be one aspect of negative energy that can be over positive, or vice versa, positive energy being over negative energy. It's never ever going to be a 50-50 split. And the thing that I like to equate that to is that we always have the choice on which energy is going to be the dominant energy, whether it's going to be the positive energy or the negative energy.
But that will be greatly influenced about fear. Whether it's fear of nuclear holocaust, whether it's our government putting out things to instill fear so that we will be more dependent on them so they can fill out their agendas. You know, it's not that negativity is a bad thing. You can also look at it as a time of resting, a time of reflection, a time of you don't always have to be going, going, going. Sometimes to do nothing is just as important as putting out your intentions of having to do something. And you have to have a balance. Right now, we do not have a balance globally whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have the wars and the famine, the amount of poverty that is going on globally in our world. You can look to your neighbor who may or may not have gone to bed without their supper. Or you can look in a country like Africa, war and torn and starving. And we have diseases that are coming out every single day. Those negative intentions are coming out in ways that we have no hope of defeating if we don't come out and start looking towards the positive. If we stop letting fear get to us and think about the good.
Yes.
We can think about, what can we do to make my neighbor happy? What can I do to make my community park better? What can I do to affect my community or my government or my state or the world? What can I do to affect change?
You know, it's funny, about, it's been about 25, 30 years now. There was a song by Bob Dylan that came out, and it said, "You're going to have to serve somebody." And it went on, it said, "It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." And, you know, that it's funny, I thought about that song today. I probably haven't heard it for 15 or 20 years. But, again, since we have the free will to do that, since we have the ability to do that, it just, to me, it makes it so much easier to try to make these decisions when we do have free will. I always go back to technically what the Bible says, that if we didn't have free will in the Garden of Eden, in that great story, that we really wouldn't have been able to freely serve God. And that's something that God did not want. He did not want to have automatons, just robots, going back and forth just with absolute slave-like energy serving God. So,
of course not, because that becomes in a gray area, like I talked about the equal magnets. It serves no purpose. There is no growth. There's also no death. And you need to have that.
Yeah,
you absolutely need to have that.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and change up subjects now and talk about something that I thought about today. It's kind of been in the news a little bit. If you do listen to shows like Coast to Coast, they have a few different guests on about history in Egypt. And the one thing that I came up with a title for is the question, is humanity reciprocal? Do the traits of humanity continue to surface after hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands and thousands of years, over and over again? And, you know, one thing that has kind of come up is that, have we already had an ancient nuclear holocaust? Is the nuclear age that we live in now, has it already happened thousands of years ago? Just recently, there's been some evidence to say that under the Egyptian pyramid, some 600 feet, there are sheets of pure glass. And you ask yourself, well, how could that be? You know, glass in its modern form was never formed up until just recently, within the last few centuries. How could glass be under the Egyptian pyramids? And is that possible?
How is glass made?
Well, it's through... Well, the ancient way of making it was through sand and very, very high temperatures.
Exactly.
Extremely high temperatures.
Exactly. So you're saying that under the Egyptian pyramids, huge slabs of glass have been found about 600 feet beneath the tombs and the catacombs and what have you. So that's a very interesting question. We also have lost periods of time, like called the Dark Ages, where cataclysmic activities have happened, and there are literally no records of what went on that time. Who's to say that our ancient peoples weren't more advanced than we think, and something like that did happen, but on a different scale? You know, we called a lot of using crystals and scents and chanting New Age. But how New Age is it? It really isn't. It's actually very ancient. And who's to say that our ancient peoples didn't know how to harness energy by collective intentions?
Yeah, and that brings up another point. You know, especially for for parents with children, especially children that may not seem to be doing what the parents think is the right thing. The energies of the world, the energies of parents, the energies of people that they put out, you know, how far does that energy go? Does it just go to the next person? Does it just go to your husband or to your wife? Does it just go to the children in your family and stop there? Or is it something that we really don't necessarily see on this earthly plane? Is it something that energy, the inertia of that energy continues on even after we're gone? It's a deep subject.
I absolutely believe it continues on after we're gone. It's like the idea of space-time continuum, that it's in a circle 8, and it continually moves around, and at the midpoint, it connects, and it puts everything at the same time. Again, there's your intentions. It has to do with what you put out comes back to you 3 times 3 times 3. What you put out. Okay? Now, I firmly believe that, yeah, energy is infinite. It will just keep going on. We may not see something in our lifetime, but it does affect our future generations. And I also believe it can affect our past. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why would we have, like you say, reciprocal, repetitive actions like wars?
Right. And, you know, the one thing that I like to think about, too, is that if we are evil or have evil intentions, evil actions, the evil we create will ultimately come back upon us. You know, I really do think that that's one of the things that Jesus did try to say and the great prophets were trying to explore and help us to understand. You know, a lot of people talk about the traditional heaven and hell aspects of a lot of the traditional teachings. And there's one definition of hell that to me has always seemed so extremely right on the point, and that is hell is separation from God, is separation from your Creator. And again, I think if that evil intention that we create comes back upon us and separates us from our Creator, separates us
from the divine
from
being.
That divine being, yes, then to me, in a lot of ways, that is going to be the ultimate hell, to be without that great divine that created all the energy that's in the universe, in all universe. So, you know, if we try to be positive and give positive affirmations to people, you know, we'll receive it again and again. And you know, the one thing is that a lot of the parents out there, you know, the actions that you have, the actions that you see that your children have, that's just on the surface. You know, a lot of times, just like it says in the scriptures, if when a child is raised up correctly, they will return to that correctness. And that always does happen. It takes time. It takes kind of like Tracy says, that figure eight for maybe that child to go out and to go around the moon, to go around the dark side of something, to come back and to realize, you know, things weren't really that bad at home. Things weren't really that negative. Maybe there was something that they did right. And a lot of times, you know, you'll see that not only with children, but you'll see that, you know, in the energies of the people that you work with, that you have every day, you know, the people that ultimately do create evil or manipulate, it seems like they always somehow end up taking the exit stage left for whatever reason.
Yeah, it has to do with selfishness. You know, when you're not having good intentions, when you're not putting out positive energy for the better of your community, for the better of yourself and your own soul, and you just want what you want, that selfishness is going to bite you in the butt.
Yeah.
It's going to, and there is no soul satisfaction. There is nothing. And it's like when you're dead, you can't take your gold with you. You can't take your empire with you. What you do take with you is your soul and all the experiences. And what are you going to say? I wish I'd worked an extra hour more. I don't think so. You're going to be wondering, this is what I would think. If I were a soul, whether it's judging myself or being judged, how much did I love? How much was I loved? What did I do? Did I do enough for my fellow brothers and sisters? Did I do enough to better my own soul, to grow, to learn?
Right. That's true. With a little bit of a inside knowledge, testimonial, whatever you want to say, I can definitely equate to that, because when Tracy did have the triplets back in 2004, with modern medicine, there is the sense now with doctors that, you have to have the no-lose proposition. Whatever the situation is, it has to be the no-lose proposition. And I think a lot of times that's where sometimes the spirit and the physical world always do come into a lot of conflict, because that doesn't always necessarily mean satisfaction or happiness in a person's life. When she was implanted with two eggs for the surrogate parents that she ultimately gave birth for three beautiful children, it was basically a divine, I would call it a divine event, that stated that one of the two eggs would split into identical twins and have three fetus, three infants be growing in her womb. And at the time, it was such a traumatic event for the doctors and the nurses that they had told her that she should probably even abort one of the children for the safety of the other two. And the problem with that is that in the physical world, there may be certain answers that the doctors want. They may want a no-lose situation. But in the spiritual world, things are done for many different reasons. And because Tracy and I had been so strong over the many years of our relationship and had seen the divine's creation so many times, we really didn't have a lack of faith that the children would have turned out any other way but to be healthy and ultimately happy.
What I did have a lack of was support, because everyone was so fear-driven.
So fear-driven, yes. That was so true. The mistakes that we could have made would have been so far-reaching towards just kind of like the pebble in the pond that if this destiny wouldn't have transpired, basically, people in the area that would have dealt with the triplets would have not felt the positive experience that they had because of the triplets, because of the future, because of the destiny that these three were destined to have. And it's one of those things where you cannot logically, in your logical mind, say, why did this, happen? A lot of doctors would say, oh my goodness, that's a mistake.
Let's just take care of it and get
exactly,
rid of it.
It's,
and I couldn't do that because it would have been a detriment to my soul. And I knew it. It's not like if I had been pregnant and there were no babies in the sacks, that it was just a sack, which does happen. I just knew that these babies were going to be fine. I needed more support from my family, and I needed support from the parents, and I needed it from my doctors. And I wasn't getting it because everybody was so scared. And I knew I could not have an abortion.
Right.
I couldn't do that to my soul. And I was right. Babies turned out very well. Matter of fact, they went 36 and a half weeks, which is very good for a triplet pregnancy. Healthy, beautiful boys, now a year. And I believe that they are going to be a blessing for their families, a blessing for the community, and who knows, maybe someday a blessing for our whole world.
You know, I really think that the one thing you have to remember is especially when it comes to faith and spirituality, you know, it's going to help in the long run, just like, again, Tracy said with the pebble effect, it's going to help humanity to be closer as a whole, to help future generations. You know, that's the ultimate thing, is we want to help future generations, you know.
Exactly. Create and instill compassion and empathy towards another human being and towards each other. And I think we have a big lacking of that right now. You know, my surrogacy really affected our children. My son and daughter were teenagers, and I made them watch the birthing videos with me. They watched me go through this pregnancy, and as horrified as they were, I think they have a real understanding and compassion what you have to go through to bring life into this world. It's not something to just love. It's not something that's to be selfish. It's giving, and it's compassion, and it's empathy. Yeah. And that affects your future generations.
You know, I really think back to history during the end of World War I with the Versailles Treaties and how strongly the Allies wanted to impose their penance, their reparations for the loss of the war by Germany at the time, by the Kaiser. And it was really an amazing thing to see how the countries, the Allied countries, wanted at the time the Axis countries to not only pay for what they had done, but almost to the point of hurting the future generations, hurting the people in the future years. You know, there's always going to be victors and vanquished peoples during a time of war. That's something that's never going to end as long as we have wars. But I really believe that the World War I generation did not learn from the fact that, you know, politics and people in politics, they come and go. But the love and the humanity that we show for the vanquished is the key to having our future be more secure. A lot of historians look at World War I, the space between World War I and World War II, as just a small little break in the war. And I think as history goes on, that will be shown to be very true, because the peoples of Germany and the peoples around there that were the vanquished at the time, because there was so much hatred put on them after the war, that did not help for the next war to start. And granted, there's always free will with each country, and both sides did not learn from that mistake of World War One.
Well, you can't learn from it because it was fear-based.
Exactly.
You get nothing from that. You get anger, you get fear, you know, you just get scared. And what do? People are scary animals when right. they are fear-based.
Yeah, and unfortunately when that happens, dictators tend to flourish. People like Adolf Hitler tend to flourish during those times of
They instill it, they keep it growing. It's like that's their crop. It's a crop of negativity. And it is possible to grow and nurture the negativity. But that has to do out of selfishness, out of power. He wasn't doing it to take care of his people because they were starving. Not in true actuality, he wasn't doing that. He was doing it because he had an inflated ego. He was mad. He had an agenda all of his own. He instilled his people not only fear, But he got them to thinking, yeah, it is everybody else's fault that I'm starving, right, and you all should pay for it.
That's true. Well, we hope that you've enjoyed our first podcast from the island of Maui. And we just hope that next month that you will continue to listen. If you do have any comments or questions, you can contact me at hawaiiradio.podomatic.com. I think there's a link down there that you can put an email question. So
for either of us.
For either of us, yes. So, again, we would like to say thank you. And from the island of Maui, we would like to say good night, good morning, wherever you may be. And we'd also like to say a very good aloha to you all. Aloha and good night and good morning.
Aloha.